Tay Verizon.
This may or may not be a part two to our previous topic. More discussion around the concept of the simulation theory. It's Justine and myself, Zane, again. And yeah, there's a few important pieces in here that I think we maybe didn't get to previously, or maybe they were just they've been buried. A lot of this information will move through phases where it kind of will, you know, percolate up to the surface and be everything for a time, and then it might get tucked under, and as we pursue a different avenue in our lives for a moment. I think the main message for me that I wanted to convey is that there's no point in arguing or hypothesizing about whether or not this is real, because the fact that your consciousness is projected here, the fact that your attention is on this system of reality, makes it real. And the same goes for, you know, any conceptual framework. We are entrained from birth and early childhood into thinking that an idea or a concept or a theory is only valid if some overlord or institution has put their stamp of approval on it. And of course, that's designed to enslave us so that as we grow older and we're, you know, programmed with more and more information that is limiting and that, you know, contains our natural creative impulses into these very constricted frameworks, you know, that can then be used against us over and over again instead of us accessing our real higher truth, our inner truth. So let's just say, you know, hypothetically for a moment that this is a simulation. We're in a, yeah, some sort of, what is the word?
Simulacrum.
Yeah, he says, Jason says simulacrum, which is rad. Simulacrum. Does it really matter? I was thinking about the movie Avatar. I think it's actually a really helpful reference point. And maybe before we talk about Avatar, you should talk about what you saw in your journey in Andromeda, right?
Sure. So, and I know that there are other people, I think Matthew's one of them, who have also experienced the same thing, and it's also talked about in certain texts. And so, and it's actually a guided meditation that you can do as well. But in this meditation, which was on day 6 of a juice fast that I was on a few years ago, I was connected to Andromeda, which is a galaxy, so it's not highly specific. It's the closest galaxy to the Milky Way, but, you know, of course there's...
It doesn't matter. You went there and
lots
you had a whole experience.
Lots of life experience. On there. Yeah. Had a whole experience. And in follow-up connections to the place, in one of them, I experienced myself essentially in like a stasis chamber. The planet where I was all plasma, and so it was like a bed made of plasma, and all the beings there are plasma, and I was connected in and kept in dream state for this life here. And what I saw was that the entirety of my lives on planet Earth occurred in this one dream state, from like the fairy kingdom before humans were even on the planet all the way through to this lifetime. So it's, you know, many, 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 many lives in one dream. And so that conceptually is sort of similar to this simulation. And I think for some of us, it's easier to translate our multidimensional form in that way. It's also safer because of the manipulation of the soul recycling grid, the Archon grid. And so I think there's something about staying in a physical body in another dimension and another star system, and then translating via a dreaming body from that system into this one that perhaps bypasses a lot of the configuration. Maybe there is a Dyson sphere around this planet and that bypasses it. So that's just one kind of concept around a potential simulation, and yet it's no less real because of it. Kind of what Zane is saying, because we are here fully, our consciousness is fully focused on this reality, it is a reality system.
Yeah, and, you know, thinking of that, the movie Avatar, I think if you haven't seen it, it would be highly recommended. I think it's a movie about Earth. but, you know, he goes into this little, like, stasis chamber like Justine is talking about, and then he's projected or you know, linked into this body of one of the, you know, native beings there on that planet. And his experience is portrayed as being absolutely immersive and physical and real, even though there's another version of him that is, you know, asleep or dreaming in this sort of synthetic technology in that case. I believe what Justine was just describing is an extremely advanced organic technology where we do use the natural organic grid lines and the dream state as our point of access into this reality system. So is it a simulation? I mean, you could argue that, but it's the fact that our consciousness is here, attentive, focusing on the circumstances that make it real. Wherever our consciousness goes, that is reality. You know, is a medicine journey real? Yes, because your consciousness goes to those places. And in those moments, often this reality, this entire world and all of the systems and constructs that we're indoctrinated into, even just the physical planet itself, will often disappear for a time. And instead, we're immersed in these other realms, you know, and that's why it's such an incredible tool for opening our multidimensional framework, our multidimensional perspective, and bringing it through into a system where that has been intentionally filtered out and blocked at every possible avenue. And in terms of mechanics, I would say what Justine was just touching on, it is the only way that star beings have been able to access this planet for a time. There were beings who were trapped here when the Dyson sphere, if you will, when the frequency fence went up originally, and those souls have been mass incarnated over and over again. I believe there have been other sort of dark entities that have been able to divide and mass incarnate themselves into bodies here. All of these things represent an attempt to create, you know, cyborgs, automatons that are so splintered from repeated trauma events, trauma lifetimes, that they will do anything they're told. You can program them into a very limited scope of reality and they will believe it to be real. But because they still have a connection to the organic grids, they bring their energy in. They act as the projector for an overlaid reality that is synthetic and inverted. But at the point that the Starseed Initiative began, that was the great mastery of the organic grids, was to figure out how to sneak a being into this system, how to sneak a multidimensional being that was coming from a more intact sphere of reality to enter this system, and then to wake up and to start to remember who they actually are, to start to actually see the system here for what it is. And all of those things began the systematic deconstruction of the overlay realities, which for these systems to be effective, we need to believe that the veil, that everything we're seeing, is totally real. And I think in our experience, and in most people who have some awakening experience, you start to see very clearly what's fake and separated out from what is real. And, you know, again, this comes back to our fascination with nature. You know, nature is real. It feels real to us, like this is a living system. And meanwhile, if you go and look at governments or economies or so many of these other things, you can see that they're just overlaid and they're empty. Just like watching some phony journalist or talking head on TV blabbering, and you can feel that it's fake. It's not connected to anything. It's totally overlaid programming.
And so you can think of these systems as interacting with each other via us, because we perceive them both. There is an organic system, organic grids, organic creative expression that is interacting with, intertwined with, intersecting with the false grids, the inversion matrix, whatever vocabulary you have for this overlay, this false reality that is projected through us onto the organic creative timeline and grids, interacts with it and can even distort it and manipulate our experience of it. And you can bring it with you. We've been in the wilderness with people who bring their relationship with synthetic creation, false grids, into the backcountry, and they project it while we're out there. And it's very, very clear. And the more you interact with that, particularly in contrast of like extreme wilderness, there is no overlay here. And guess who brings it? Humans bring it, because it runs through them and it's palpable. It's like, wow, you just brought the matrix into the backcountry.
It's so misaligned, right?
Yeah, it's amazing.
And we're guilty of it too. We all to some extent, because
I've worked outside.
And we're the target of, you know, that entire overlay system. We are the host. I hate to say it. We're the parasitic host. And that's by design, because of the incredible beings that the human blueprint, what the human blueprint stands to offer in its unmanipulated state, is unparalleled. So of course we would be the target, because if we are the projectors of the reality stream, if we are the ones forming the consensus reality, then if you hijack the human beings, you can impose whatever reality system you want. And it is the most powerful, you know, to hook a human in that way. But, you know, I've been there. I find myself suddenly having a discussion about some money or taxes or government or putting time restrictions. I don't really do the time thing that much, but other people who want a really intense schedule with timing and constantly looking at their watch or clock to make sure that we're on time when we're somewhere in the backcountry in the middle of nowhere, deep immersed in nature. And it's like that is bringing the synthetic overlays into an otherwise organic sphere of reality. And yeah, I suppose maybe this is a good place to talk about this vision that has come up repeatedly of how the organic and synthetic realities timelines are intertwined. And personally, I've seen it almost like DNA. It's like they're twisted together, and they follow, I should say that the synthetic reality copies every little twist and curve and nuance of the organic system, and it's infiltrated all the way through the dimensional stack. So every little third dimensional twist and following those blueprints up, up, up until it's finally barred out at some level. But that's very, very high and far from here. So you know, the genius, if you will, of an otherwise very stupid form of intelligence, excuse me, but impotent, is that it can infiltrate. Infiltration is the only tool that it really has. And it works its way into every little nook and cranny and copies and inverts and distorts and distracts, you know? And I think that that's a really important concept to keep in our toolkit here as we navigate this system, because when you get information from an external source, and it doesn't matter if you're like, oh yeah, well, it wasn't from YouTube, it was from like BitChute, and it was from this person, and they're good because they say this, you know, and it's like that's okay, but at every possible point, the infiltrative capacity of synthetic intelligence will work its way in. And so you might be dealing with 90% truth, but that 10% that's creeped in is designed to plant a seed or to hook a parasite, I think, as we would say, probably more accurately, that can then later be fed more and more information along those lines. And the goal ultimately is to completely derail that being from accessing their truth and their higher potential.
And that is because we, human beings, each one of us, is the inflection point. We are the inversion point. We constantly say things like we are on a precipice. Humans are always on this precipice. And on one side is organic creation, and on the other side is artificial inversion. That is a reflection of the one side, but it is a distorted reflection. It is synthetic. It's not fundamentally resonant. And you can feel it. Cognitive dissonance is a palpable experience when you're interacting with a being who's in the matrix. They're saying one thing. 10 minutes later, it's 180 degrees opposite, and they're stuck, and it's like, ah. And we ourselves are that inflection point. We can really be precise with our language, with what we consume, with what we project in reality, and make our decision. But it is a very precise line between the two that is constantly blurred, because even if you are focused on the organic timeline, you love the planet, you are here, you are awake. I personally am interacting with my phone. I am sometimes on social media. I am on my computer. I am dealing with people full of parasites. And so it is a constant calibration. It is a constant redirection to be precise, recognize the inflection point, recognize when it's like, oops, I totally just said something or did something or consumed something that was not in alignment. And that's okay. That's part of the incredible ability of organic creation, is to dip our toes in and be able to pull them out again. And for me personally, I don't believe that there's any being that is breathing and sweating and bleeds blood that is too far in the inversion to not pull themselves out. Because if you cut off your complete thread from source, you don't survive that. So if you are still alive, then you can return to that point of inflection, and you can peer over the precipice to the other side, which is the Garden of Eden. It is glory. It is beautiful, unadulterated creation.
And that doesn't mean that it can be done all at once. I think that's important to keep
right,
in
that's
mind.
Kind of
if you are completely filled with synthetic structures, like you have synthetic technology, you know, worked into your nervous system, and you have parasites up the wazoo. If you just cut that system out overnight, a lot of people couldn't survive it. I would maybe even go so far as to say most people. And, you know, that's important to keep in mind for why this process is gradual. A lot of us want it all at once. We want big things to happen, big immediate shifts that are tangible, palpable. Like, there's no question that it just changed, you know, but that could, in the current configuration of most human beings, result in a massive loss of life. And that is not in alignment with these beings of unconditional love who are here supporting our beautiful planet Earth and this emergence.
And so one technique that I just worked on in a session with somebody that I think Zane is the one who originally articulated it to me, but I was working with somebody and we identified a very core, deep, painful program that was inserted into a wound as a child, you know, and it's a cord, some people call it parasite synthetic structure. And it just felt so ingrained in this person's identity that pulling it out, the removal of, would create a very violent reaction. Could have even been physical, but probably just would have shaken the identity to the core, created a major nervous system response, etc. And so the technique that we worked on was actually wrapping that wound, which I think this is something Zane walked me through at one point, a year ago perhaps, wrapping that wound in your own overlay of who you are, your own identity, wrapping it in love and slowly disintegrating it and filling each particle with yourself, with your own identity, your own truth, your own love, your own programs for yourself. And from the inside out, kind of an outside in, dissolving this so that there's not some like violent unplugging. You know, it's just like unplugging an extension cord. Sometimes it sparks, which might not be good for the nervous system, particularly right now when everybody's nervous system is like, I can't handle more. And so I just wanted to share that technique that you can use in meditation if you're like, oh, wow, you guys just spoke to me. I feel like I have, we all do to some degree, these structures in our bodies. And so you can visualize that and identify what those core programs are and dissolve them. And it can be gentle and beautiful because we don't need a bunch of people with a adrenal failure because their nervous system is jacked right now. We need everybody to be gentle and loving and in this space of readiness for this moment that we're in right now.
Yeah, because the moment at which these overlays do lift off, there is hardwired modification to our nervous system. It's what we talked about a couple episodes ago. I'm pretty sure I'm kind of honing in on what that was, that like live wire contact. And I think that when that physical modification is removed from the human collective, we will experience a completely different reality. It's not that it won't be Earth. You know, it'll be recognizable. It will be more recognizable. It will be the thing that we've always known underneath all of the overlays, right? Which are dulling down the experience here. The intention ultimately for AI, for that system, that fundamentally non-creative system, is to make this reality, the real reality of Earth and the living cosmos and the organic library, so boring, so inaccessible, so people are just
inconvenient.
People are just, you know, going to work and coming home and watching TV, and there's nothing here, there's nothing interesting, so that suddenly the synthetic options look really appealing. Oh, you can put on virtual reality goggles and you can have a virtual reality vacation, or you can pursue any fantasy you want. And, you know, ironically, it's the exact same little deck of promises that has been handed to the elite. When the elite made their deal with the devil way back when, you know, it was like, you can have anything you want, any material item, you can pursue any sexual fantasy, any creepy, you know, this and that or the other. And guess what they have? Are they happy people? No. So,
and that is a good question to ask yourself as we peer into each other and look, the grass is always greener. Oh, wow, are these people successful by a distorted definition of success? Yes. Being highly wealthy is that case, but there have been a few people in the past few years have asked me so specifically, do you think that Jeff Bezos is happy? Do you think that these people are happy? And it's a really good question to ask when we find ourselves just wishing for a bone to be thrown to us or thinking about this elite class and really asking. I think it's a deep question. Is that something that you want and you value? And if so, really ask it.
Because underneath all of that, underneath these overlays, the multidimensional reality that we are, you know, one facet of, whether we're plugged in through another avatar or body on a, you know, nearby planet or star system as sort of a translation point, access point to this system, you know, whatever the nuances and details of how we're accessing this reality field aside, what we've seen is the dimensionality of who we truly are. And as creator gods, there is absolutely nothing that the synthetic reality can offer us that has any appeal. And that goes, you know, this is all coming down the line. I mean, they're going to start promising people that with like Neuralink, you're going to be able to communicate with other people, and you're going to start to be able to have biohack upgrades where, you know, you have new capacities that you can toggle on and off through your little like brain computer interface, and all of this shit that's going to be promised to humanity as like, this is how you become a superhero, when in fact that was all taken away from us in
it's
the past
hollow.
And it's our belief system that we cannot access it that keeps us trapped, that keeps it out of our access. And you know, the great awakening, the process that we are in right now as human beings, is, you know, a mass collective learning to reaccess little parts and pieces of that. And as we collectively begin to knit a picture for what has taken place on Earth and what we are capable of, if we just believe in it, all we have to do is will it into reality, because we are the creator beings powering this entire reality system. But that's really hard, you know, to get that doubting mind out of the way and to convince ourselves that, you know, this is real. Like, you know, I just had an interaction with somebody and this is what I saw. And most people bottle that up and take it home and bury it and put it aside and never say anything. But what's happened now with coming into contact with beings who have been awake, and more than awake, who have been in the healing arts, immersed in the healing arts for decades, there's this validation of, oh, did you just get an intuitive hit? Well, that's real. Like, it's not that, you know, and it, there, then you have to learn that very fine line distinction of, was this a thought that I'm projecting on top of a situation, or was this something that emerged organically from my blueprints? Because it is that translation point right at the seed of thought. This was another thing that came through on a journey. The seed of thought is where the synthetic system can hijack our reality. It can flip things so quickly, but it's impotent. At the end of the day, it's only if we believe in those things, you know. So it can flip a seed for a whole idea, but we're the ones investing energy.
And as soon as you invest that energy, it collapses into reality. And so invest your energy in circumstances and people that support and uplift you and validate you and speak your truth in a way that helps others to feel, wow, okay, I did perceive something that felt extraordinary, but we just have that word that it's extraordinary because that's true. That is the reality of organic creation. And as soon as we create this extra quality, we separate it from our reality. And what we're doing right now is pulling our incredible reality back in together into our scope of awareness so that we can experience it. And so the best thing in this particular context is to seek out that support and validation and give it to others. Purge the scarcity mindset. Know that somebody else's intuitive hit doesn't mean that you're wrong or that you don't have that. And all it will do is create this beautiful network of highly perceptive beings who are changing the whole world.
The whole world.
The whole world.
Well, yeah, I think that's a good place to leave it. And I think the only other thing we didn't talk about, but it's so thematic through all of these episodes, is the parasitic piece. And that once you connect that piece in, it's hard to go back to a different framework for what has happened here. When you see parasites and synthetic structures coming out of people's bodies in our physical waking reality, it's hard not to be like, okay, there's the explanation for everything we see in government, in world systems, in economies, corporations, all of these various structures. And we start to see those patterns entrenched in human beings and the things that they say. We hear now, when someone's talking and it's actually a parasite talking, as disgusting as that is, it's a reality, and it's transparent. You're like, oh yeah, I know where you got that little hook.
You have that.
How many news broadcasters have said that same exact little line, and now there's a parasite inside you that causes some pain in your emotional body that connects into a mental loop that's been implanted there that is keeping you enslaved in a looping reality system, and now you're regurgitating it to me as if it's fact or reality of some sort, you know? And so learning to decipher that, I mean, you can't go back into the box. Like,
you can't get the kitty back into the box once you've let the kitty out of the box. But something that's beautiful about that realization for me is recognizing that it's not the human, it's not the person. And we talk about, yes, these programs run through you, but they're not you. And so purging them out, looking at them, recognizing them, all of that, what it does is empower you to say, oh my goodness, those gross patterns, that thing that I said, that thing that I consumed, whatever it is that all of us have experienced, is not you. And that is so important, because those of us who are wanting to leave this system, who are depressed, who are at their depths, they're at the bottom, through all of that, beneath all of that despair, is this impotent worm that you can let go of. And beneath that is love, and is your true self that you get to express when you recognize and clear these patterns and programs and parasites.
Yeah. So that is the ultimate toolkit. And that's how we can continue to attune ourselves to the truth of what's happening. We know how to clear these things, and it's amazing. So we love you. Bye-bye.